This is James Smith from Dalworth Clean. We go back with Neil Sperry since the early 80s. We welcome you to another hour of Neil Sperry's Texas Gardening. Once again, here's our friend, Neil Sperry.
All right, James, thank you very much. Thank you for listening today. We're glad to have you. And it's time to check in with Jimmy Turner, the senior horticulture, no, the senior director of the gardens. I got the wrong garden there. At the Dallas Arboretum. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing great.
I love the topic you have chosen today. I think you did that for me, didn't you?
I did it for both of us. We both love our hollies.
Yeah, they are the most functional plants. Somebody called and asked last hour about a good plant that would get 8 feet tall and 6 feet wide. And, you know, that's a tough – and he already had three kinds of hollies, but he didn't have anything that was in the Marinelle or the red holly group, and he wanted a difference in texture. So I think you could get that with those. I gave him the list that I could come up with of – 10 or 15 plants like wax myrtle and Japanese yew and others, but they all get scored down in my heart anyway, just a little bit for various problems. And then there are the hollies left behind as the A-plus plants. What are the, you have a couple in here I have never seen, don't know that well. What is Acadiana? Did you bring that one back from New England?
I did not, but this one I actually have a few small ones. The garden can be coming, I'll show you, but it's really looking good. It's really tight, really deep, heavy foliage, dark, dark green, and just makes a bucket load of berries.
All right, I want to back up. Hang on just a second. I want to back up because this is going to be really good information for people. And these are called red hollies. And the reason is, I don't know what, but the red hollies are these all offspring of Marinelle originally?
They are all Marinelle offspring. So
okay.
All do great for us.
All right, they all do well for us. That's the important thing in the black clay soil, and the one that you may be most familiar with is Oakland. It looks like oak leaf, and until I see your note here, didn't really distinguish much difference between them. So, folks, those are what we're talking about now. They have bold leaves and beautiful habits. Now, let's go back and go through your list, and we won't spend a lot of time on any one of them, but Acadiana, how tall and wide are you told it will grow? I know it's new for you.
I'm told this one will get about 8 to 10 foot, so it's going to be a little bit shorter than some of the others and probably about 4 to 5 foot wide. It's definitely kind of a Christmas tree shape.
All right, and heavy berry production. I've not had berries on Oakland or Oakleaf or Liberty. I have Liberty. I haven't had fruit, and I don't know if they all have fruit or not, but you know what? They're such great shrubs otherwise. Tell us about Festive.
Festive is, I've got this one out in the women's garden, deep green, shiny foliage, not as serrated or pointy as the others, and a perfect little Christmas tree shape if you keep it sheared. More of a tight habit than some of the others.
All right. Liberty?
Liberty, huge serrated leaves, kind of very Marinelle-like, mm-hmm. Big, more open plant. And I think it's a male because I've never seen berries on it.
Yeah, that's kind of what I wondered also. And are we talking 10 to 15 feet tall here now at maturity?
Yes, that one's definitely 10 to 15 at full size.
All right. And tell us then the difference in Oakleaf and Oakland. Oakleaf was the first one that I remember seeing in the marketplace. And then suddenly here's this one that looks just like it called Oakland. And I'm thinking, all right, somebody's been taking cuttings.
I believe that oak, I actually think they're the same plant.
Okay. So two of us say the same thing. All right. Somebody is bypassing a trademark. Okay.
Actually, I think I know exactly what's happened. Oakleaf was around. We had it. They're telling me that Oakland will make berries. I've never seen berry on it, which some of the websites will say. Mm-hmm. Oakleaf was around originally. They're both bred by Plant Delights Nursery, or Plant Delights, PDSA, Plant Development Services in Alabama. And Oakleaf was the original one. It's the one I use for all the walls in women's garden. Doesn't make any berries. Oakland is a Southern Living Plant Collection, which they own that trademark. So I think they just popped it over and put a different name on it.
Okay, but its origin was the same source, and so it's not like somebody's violating a patent or anything.
Nope.
Okay, all right. So no arrests coming on that one. And then Patriot.
This one I really like. It's really kind of, to me, it's kind of Christmas holly looking. It has the big dark green leaves with the really pointy edges. Are smaller leaves, I'm saying, but it makes some. I actually used some the other day at the arboretum for a cut flower arrangement. We've got this one over in the main parking lot, right where you pull up at the very front.
Jimmy, if I wanted to come to the Dallas Arboretum, I think I know the answer, and I'm not trying to embarrass you on this one or make you feel badly that I asked. If I wanted to come and look at the hollies, is there anywhere on the website or anywhere that I could have a map of the grounds that would pull out the hollies and say, here is where they are?
There is not, but we are working on. I now have a new employee who's my new CAD person who is working on a map for Japanese maples, the hollies, and our trees for us.
That will be so useful, because the real function of a botanic garden or an arboretum is to be able to compare things side by side. And you guys just specialize so much in color that that's another part of the opportunity. But the series plant collection, good for you. That's good. All right. So that's hollies, and you'll see them just darn near everywhere.
Pretty much in every single garden.
That's right. Holiday at the Arboretum. Tell us.
Starting from now till December 31st, we have Artistry of the Nativity, which is hard for me to say for some reason. We have over 300 nativities in the Gregory House, which is decorated to the nines. Also, we have holiday tea every day from 11 to 2. That's an extended cost. And then every weekend between now and December 23rd, we have photo ops of Santa, Rudolph, and Frosty, and we have a live reindeer in the garden.
You have a lot going on, and as if that weren't enough, you have Chihuly Nights finishing up its run of this year of about 8 or 9 months through the month of December. And what nights are the lights on Chihuly? Oh, Sunday nights now, too.
We added another night for the rest of December, so Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday all the way to the end of December.
Is it as crazy as it was 6 weeks ago, Jimmy?
Not as crazy, but we're still selling out. So
all right,
better find out quickly.
I will do that. I have a family, a bunch of family members who want to come, and so we're going to sign up and get them out there. So that's cool. All right, and that's the glass work that is just unbelievably beautiful at night, folks. All that and everything else at the Dallas Arboretum gift shop for Christmas gift giving, memberships available when you go in. You can give a gift of a membership. You can do it all. I'm taking a one-hour program here now. Let's tell folks how to find you.
We're at 8525 Ground Road, and that's on the southeast side of White Rock Lake in East Dallas. Just take I-30 over to Grand Avenue, go north, and we'll be on the left-hand side, or take Ground Road south from anywhere and look for the green signs that say Dallas Arboretum.
All right, the website?
DallasArboretum.org.
And the 24-hour information number?
214-515-6500.
All right, and I think you have email. I think I heard it download there just a moment ago. So
I do.
Yeah. Happy day, Jimmy. I really appreciate you. Thanks for all that you and your horticulture team do for all of us.
Thanks, my friend.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Jimmy Turner from the Dallas Arboretum, and sponsored today by Norway Irrigation. And I did not mention this while Jimmy was on the phone because I didn't want to drag him into one of my commercial messages, but Bill Jensen was selected a year ago to do, or more, maybe it's 2 years ago, to do the design work for the irrigation system for the Children's Council Garden. Bill owns and operates Norway Irrigation. They knew that he would design a really efficient, effective sprinkler system for the Dallas Arboretum, and I'm proud of him for having been recognized in that way. It's a $40 or $50 million garden going in. Bill said he worked about 3 weeks nonstop on it. Norway Irrigation, he won't need to work 3 weeks on your landscape, but if you want the best, the one that the pros turn to, you'll call Norway Irrigation. They use Weathermatic equipment. It will be done right. It will be done right the first time, and Bill has been in business since 1983 doing sprinkler irrigation installation and maintenance, for that matter. They will maintain systems even if they didn't install them. Some of their most heroic work comes when they come into a yard that they have never seen before, and they have to find valves that were not mapped and do repairs on them. Norway Irrigation, just the best in all respects. 972-446-3292, norwayirrigation.com. Norway Irrigation, serving all of the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, 972-446-3292.
Hi, this is Michelle Shook, Sales Director for Neil Sperry's Texas Gardening and Gardens Magazine. Interested in advertising? Give me a call at 972-562-5050. 972-562-5050. And now, let's get back to Neil.
Thank you, Michelle. She is on duty today, screening calls for me. She just does a little bit of everything, and I appreciate her very, very much. And we would love to have you as an advertiser. We are kind of picky about whom we allow to advertise, but she can guide you with that. And only because I'm going to be giving you basically an endorsement when I accept your ad here, and kind of guard that. It's my reputation, after all. Let's go to Ethel in Greenville. Ethel, this is Neil. Good morning.
Good morning. I was in the Arboretum about a week ago and picked up an acorn, and I was over in the pumpkin area, and it was I measured it, and it did not float, so I planted it in a gallon pot.
Mm-hmm.
But the acorn was 2 inches long,
okay,
and 1 inch wide, and I'm wondering what kind of acorn it was.
Had to be bur oak. It had to be a bur oak, B-U-R, and that is Quercus,
yeah,
macrocarpa, because large seed.
Yeah, I have some bur oaks still, mm-hmm, with the caps on them and all, but they're way too round. This was very...
Oh, no, they'll vary a great deal.
Oh, will they?
Yeah, if you look at... I have bur oaks on my property. We had one large tree years ago, and it ultimately fell over. I didn't even know I had it. It was in a thicket on our property, and I look out, and I see some reverses of leaves. There's a tree down over there. We had not cleared it. We had just moved in, and I went over into the briars and the brambles and realized that was a big bur oak that came down. And subsequent to that, probably 50 seedlings came up within 100 yards, and their acorns are all different sizes and shapes. That's the only oak that I'm aware of in this area, and there are plenty of them in the Dallas Arboretum grounds. I've spent many, many hours walking those grounds. It's the only one I know of with an acorn anywhere near that large.
Okay, saying that then, if I plant it and if it grows and produces acorns, when they hit the ground, am I going to have little trees coming up everywhere probably?
Well, it's the way a tree reproduces. Every tree produces seeds.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not sure
some
I understand.
I know put up, you know, are will grow and others don't, seems like, but maybe it's because the squirrels take them off or something.
Let me tell you, I think bur oaks, living in a pecan forest with red oaks and bur oaks also sharing that forest at my home, I get very few weed seedlings of bur oaks. They're either eaten by the squirrels or they are dry. They dry up and rattle, as you said, or float, and they're no good. But I don't remember taking 3 bur oaks out of my beds in 35 years.
Okay.
Now pecans, that's a different story.
Okay, and now when might I expect this to actually break through the ground so I'll know if it...
Well, it's December, and if it stays at 80 degrees for the rest of the winter, sometime in January, but more realistically, probably in March.
Okay.
Yeah, just keep the squirrels away. Thanks for calling,
okay,
Ethel. All righty. Charlie and Rendon, I will help you. Just stay with me. Clark and Double Oak, your questions fascinate me, and I want to help you. So stay there, and we have other calls behind them. Let me tell you right now about the offer from Neil Sperry's Gardens Magazine. I want to do kind of the condensed version of it. You've heard me talk about the calendar. It's beautiful. And by the way, the calendar's mail tomorrow. If you've already ordered, we are told, unless you've just ordered in the last couple of days, that the mailing list is ready to roll tomorrow morning. We called Friday, and they said, yep, going out Monday. So that'll no need to call. Please don't call my office specifically and ask when's the calendar going to arrive, because they have no clue. That said, this is a beautiful calendar. I'm really proud of it. I worked harder on this one, I think, than I have on any one, other maybe than the die-cut one that was the shape of the state of Texas in 1986. 30 years I've been doing an annual gardening calendar. This has 10,000 words of when to plant, prune, fertilize, and spray all of the plants in your landscape and garden. That's a lot of information. Beautiful calendar. Save 1/3 on it by buying it with a magazine subscription to Neil Sperry's Gardens Magazine, the definitive word in Texas horticulture. You get all of that for $38.95. You will be on top of the game because you'll know what to do and when to do it. It will pay for itself. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed, or I will refund every penny. You pay $38.95, you don't feel like you got value for it, I'll refund every penny. Call today before 11, 1-800-752-GROW, 1-800-752-GROW. That's 1-800-752-4769.
Fall is a season of unpredictable weather. It could be wet, it could be cold, and that holds your foundation hostage. Hi, this is Neil Sperry for Advanced Foundation Repair, leaders in the foundation repair industry. If you're concerned about your foundation, call the pros. The home inspection is free. The estimate is free. Should you need the repairs, they're guaranteed for a lifetime. Advanced Foundation Repair, 214-333-0003, foundationrepairs.com.
The Vocal Majority, America's premier pops chorus, presents A Christmas at the South Pole.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
Find out what happens when Santa Claus gets a new GPS and gets lost at the South Pole. Surrounded by the award-winning Vocal Majority chorus, dressed as penguins. It's a fun, laugh-filled show the whole family will love, combining beautiful music, wonderful staging, Santa Claus with some elves, and 100-plus penguins. The Vocal Majority in A Christmas at the South Pole for a limited 5-show engagement at the Iceman Center in Richardson, Thursday through Sunday, December 13th through the 16th, including 2 matinees. Tickets are priced from $10 to $43. These shows always sell out, so order your tickets now at vocalmajority.com or at the Iceman Center ticket office at 972-744-4650. The Vocal Majority in concert. Order now at vocalmajority.com.
Hi, I'm Julie Ferraro, principal at Serenity High in McKinney. Serenity High is a school for students who are in recovery from drugs and alcohol and who are seeking a high school diploma in a safe and sober environment. For more information, call me, Principal Julie, at 469-302-7830. On the web, that's serenityhigh.org.
All right, Julie, thank you very, very much. And that is the school for which I make and sell pens. 100% of the proceeds of the pen sales go to help the kids at Serenity and the programs at Serenity and scholarships, the other things. And you can find out more about it at neilsperry.com. I will be at North Haven Gardens at 1:30 today to sell the pens, and I will cover the types of woods in about 10 minutes, 10 or 15 minutes, so stay with me. Let's see what I need to do now. I have something else I need to do. I need to tell you about Encore, don't I? And I just laid that sheet of paper over on that side. I reuse my sheets of paper, so I'm somewhat green, but I can set them out of the way and get myself in trouble. Encore's electric safety tips. Before you trim your trees or start construction that will bring you or your tools within 10 feet of power lines, you need to call Encore, and that number is toll-free 888-313-6862. They don't want you to get hurt. You can be hurt, burned, you could be killed if you are trying to do some pruning work on tree limbs that are in contact with high-voltage power lines. If a tree is making contact with the power line, and especially if it's causing sparking or fire, you want to get out of there right away and call 911. That's an emergency. If you see smoke or fire or sparks, you call 911. If you're just wanting to know more about pruning your trees, you can call Encore. And this is if you want to make sure that you're safe in doing so, if you're going to be within 10 feet. And their number, again, is 888-313-6862. And then before you start digging in your yard and you're worried about underground utilities, that's when you call 811, a couple business days ahead of when you're going to do the digging. So you have three different sets of numbers depending on whether it is just an inquiry, whether it is a non-emergency, but I want to make sure I don't cause one, or whether there is an emergency. Encore.com has all the details. Encore.com. Charlie in Rendon, this is Neil. Good morning.
Good morning, Neil. Happy holidays.
Well, happy holidays to you, sir. How can I help you?
Well, I've got a volunteer white crepe myrtle in a bed behind my house. I know the mother plant's around the west side of the house, and it's too big to let grow where it is, so I need to transplant it this winter. What I'm wondering is, because it's now maybe 7 foot tall, 3.5, 4 feet wide, is whether or not, since I can't take a good size soil ball right there, whether I might be better off to go ahead and cut that thing level to the ground and just transplant what I can, since people have had good luck in the past with freeze damage to cut the crepes all the way to the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can certainly do that. Was the white one around the house that you described, was that one growing where this is at one point and you moved it?
No, sir. No, I think it just got a wild seed or something.
Boy, that doesn't happen very often. Yeah, that doesn't happen very often. I've been around crepe myrtles all my life, and rarely do you see seedlings coming up. But anyway, to the point, yes, you could certainly do that. And what are the limitations? You just have sidewalk or something that's too close nearby?
Other plantings where it's growing. You know,
right.
I just take too much away from other plants, Vandinas and such.
I got you. You're doing it right. I'd wait until you have some very moist soils. Either water it heavily and wait a few days, or wait for some rains. You have between now and mid-February to do what you're trying to do. So there's no rush at this end of the winter time, and to just do it before it starts to leaf out. But yeah, you're on the right track. When you cut a crepe myrtle back to the ground, it will send out new shoots, and you can train it from there.
Is it too late to do any root pruning at this time to help it out?
No, it's not too late. It's going to have a month or two if you're going to wait a couple months. The problem is that you're at the most 2 months away from doing this, and the soils are cold, and it's not going to be growing roots very efficiently. Now, it would have been better a couple months ago, but you can do it. It's not going to hurt anything, and it might help.
All right, sir. Thank you.
I'm glad you called. Thanks for waiting on me. Let me go to Clark in Double Oak. Clark, this is Neil. Good morning.
Top of the morning to you, Neil.
Thank you for calling.
I have a couple of questions about plant suitability, and if you think the plants are good selections, where I can find them, because I've looked in the stores around here.
Yeah. Where did you get your list of Dazzler, Holly, Blue Vase, Juniper, and Mesquite? I'm almost afraid to ask.
Blue Vase, Juniper, and the Dazzler are both in your book I purchased quite a number of years ago when I was living in Austin.
Yeah, and at the time that the book came out, those were readily available and were wonderful plants. Blue Vase just kind of went away. People lost interest in it. The people lost interest in junipers in general for a long time. And then new patented varieties came into the market. I'll guarantee you Blue Vase is out there. If a landscape architect happened to be doing a major hospital landscape plan, and they needed 100 of them, they'd find them somewhere, probably up in the north. But I don't see them in the nurseries anymore. What you do see is Sea Green. Sea Green is about the same shape and size as Blue Vase. It's a little more relaxed, but it's a lovely juniper that is widely available. Dazzler Holly was a patented a plant from Monrovia Nursery Company in California. And for whatever the reason, they let that patent go and did not propagate it. And I suppose it's because it's kind of prickly, very prickly, that it didn't get quite the demand in the consumer trade that it needed to have to stay around after the patent ran out. I have 100 of them that I had a grower propagate for me, and I wish some nurseryman would grow it again and sell it, because it is one of my favorite 4-foot hollies. I have it in my landscape. I'm thrilled with that plant. It's a fabulous plant. The berries are almost marble-sized, and yet, people didn't ask for it, and so the retailers just said, well, no, I don't want to buy any from you. They didn't tell me this. They told the grower, we don't want to buy it anymore. People aren't buying it, and they're just sitting here. And so it's bad on us for not buying it, and now bad on them for not even offering it at all. And then the third tree you want is Mesquite, and I think you'll find that fairly available. You'll probably need to get into nurseries that handle native Texas plants. I think you can find that. You may have to wait till spring. I see it in nurseries in the spring.
Okay.
And you know what I would do? I would ask. I would call some of the independent retail garden centers. Call people. I don't want to draw the wrath of a bunch of phone callers down on these nurseries, but call people like Covington's or North Haven or Bruce Miller or Nicholson Hardy's Nursery or Shades of Green. These are people who Shades of Green does a lot of their own plant propagation, and if enough people ask about some of these plants, they would grow them for you, and I'd be happy to give starts to any of those good independent retail garden centers, because I want to see Dazzler back on the market. It's such a nice tool.
Yeah, it was a very pretty plant. In fact, I was thinking I'd like to put in a pair, one on each side of my front door. So
well, it would keep the right people from climbing your walls. So very prickly, very beautiful though. Clark, I appreciate your call, and if any grower wants to do that, and will promise me that they're not just going to plant it in their yard and enjoy it and not propagate it, I want to get it back into the trade. It deserves to be there, and the patent is gone now, so it doesn't matter. Appreciate your call very much.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Thank you. All right. We will come back to Jerry in Plano, Gregory in Forney, our next two calls up. And that would be you after that. If you'll call 800-288-WBAP, that's 800-288-9227. Call right now, won't you, please? And let me tell you about Dalworth Clean. This is a wonderful company. I have told you about Dalworth Clean. Started out as Dalworth Carpet Cleaning. I started telling you about them 32 years ago, and it has been a joy to tell you about their carpet cleaning services, and then as they have added other services, how they do hardwood floors and tile and grout, natural stone and fine rugs. The division of the company is Dalworth Restoration. They have Dalworth Fine Floors. In fact, I am having a current ongoing business relationship with Dalworth Fine Floors because the new hard surface floors came to my magazine office Friday and yesterday, and the new carpets, wall-to-wall in a couple of the rooms, and a couple of very large area rugs in three other rooms of my magazine office coming tomorrow. And these are a beautiful wool carpet. I am so pumped right now, and Dalworth Fine Floors is making that happen. Their address is 8519 Davis in North Richland Hills, 8509 Davis in North Richland Hills. That's for Dalworth Fine Floors. They're open 6 days a week. For Dalworth Clean, you need to contact them on the phone for any of their cleaning services, including $29 per area, five areas or more of carpet deep down Dalworth Clean, 214-817 Metro 267-8433. Book online for additional savings, 267-8433. The next best thing to new is Dalworth Clean, Dalworth.com.
The 24-hour newsroom, the 24-hour traffic watch, and the weather from meteorologist Brad Barton. It's all here. News Talk 820 AM, 96.7 FM, WBAP.
We are about an hour and a half away from the beginning of something very, very special that happens once a year for 4 hours per year, and that is open house at Crump's Gardens, north of McKinney. It's exit 43. It's Farm to Market. 543 Texas Farm to Market Highway, 543, just west of Central Expressway, west of 75. They have 60,000 poinsettias in full bloom. I was talking to Bill Crump just a couple of days ago. I said, Bill, that hot chocolate you have every year, get rid of it, lose it, get some lemonade. It's warm. They've never had an open house where they had 80 degree temperatures. If you ever wanted to go out and have a wonderful and beautiful day to do so, this is your day. They open their greenhouses for all to see, 60,000 poinsettias. I would have jumped backflips. Yeah. Couldn't have, but I would have tried anyway if I'd have gotten to do this when I was a young horticulturist. This was my dream to get to see this sort of a sight. So that's Crump's Gardens this afternoon. Of course, they have everything else you could want for Christmas gift giving. Santa will be there 12:30 to 2:30, tour the greenhouses with all those poinsettias, and that's between noon and 4. You can find them, exit 43 off US 75 Central Expressway, and then go back to the west. You can see them from the freeway. Their phone number is 972-542-3346, and that's Crump's Gardens, north of McKinney. It's time to check in now with Jerry Overton and the WBAP 24/7 Newsroom. Jerry?
Thank you, Neil. 72 degrees at 10:35. We've got posturing continuing in Washington, but some are still optimistic. We'll get details after your first weather and traffic. WBAP Weather in Touch forecast. Clouds are going away. The sun will be out in full force by this afternoon. 81 for the high. Clouds are back again tonight, though, with a low of 66. And it's going to be breezy both today, tonight, and tomorrow, with gusts up to 30 miles an hour. Tomorrow, the clouds will start early, then sunny by afternoon, 80 for the high. It is 73 degrees in Fort Worth, 72 at DFW and Dallas Love Field. Now the WBAP 24-hour on-time traffic watch.
As you head from Irving into Dallas, an earlier wreck has been moved to the shoulder on eastbound Highway 114 at the Highway 183 merge, and an earlier accident has been cleared from I-30 westbound at Jim Miller Road. With the WBAP 24-hour on-time traffic watch, I'm Blaine Brooks.
Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner calls it normal political theater, while White House Speaker John Boehner refers to it as nonsense. talking about the negotiations over how to avoid the tax increases and spending cuts known as the fiscal cliff that will take effect in January if Washington doesn't act to stop it. On ABC's This Week Today, Congressman Tom Cole said he supports the president's plan to keep tax cuts for the first $250,000, but he slammed the rest of the president's proposal for deficit reduction.
They must think John Boehner is Santa Claus, because that's a Christmas wish list, not a real proposal.
Cole says he does expect a deal to be made before the end of the year. Heavy fog is delaying plans to start clearing a train derailment that caused a chemical spill in the evacuation of a 12-block area in New Jersey. Officials say they're waiting for a safe time to try to pump vinyl chloride out of a damaged tanker. And the trial of an Army private charged with sending U.S. secrets to the website WikiLeaks is being pushed back a month to March. Military judge announced the change this morning at a pretrial hearing for PFC Bradley Manning. Again, the high today, 81 degrees. It is 72 degrees. From the WBAP 24/7 newsroom, I'm Jerry Overton. Let's go back to Neil Sperry's Texas Gardening next on WBAP.
It's a rapidly changing world. Rapidly changing world. From the White House to the Metroplex, change is all around us. Where do you turn to keep up? From our state-of-the-art news center overlooking Victory Plaza at the American Airlines Center, we never close.
Never close.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, keeping a sharp eye on your world. It's changing. Are you listening? News Talk, 820 AM, 96.7 FM, WBAP.
Neil Sperry's website, neilsperry.com, is the place to go for all kinds of horticultural help, gardening tips and tricks, special offers, horticultural resources, and maybe best of all, Neil Sperry's most asked Texas gardening questions. That's from the man who's taken more than 300,000 telephone calls dating back to 1978. And while you're at the website, sign up for Neil's eGardens electronic newsletter. It's free. It all starts with a visit to neilsperry.com. NEILSPERRY.com.
All right, thank you very much. And let me tell you right now about WhizQ Stone, whiz-q.com. Yeah, you really need to go to WhizQ Stone. You will love it. They're open 6 days a week. Now, you've heard me talk about them as being the experts in all kinds of stone, 18 acres of stone. Well, now for the Christmas holidays, WhizQ Stone also becomes at that same level for Christmas lights. Their lights are spectacular, like the Christmas displays in downtown Fort Worth and Chesapeake Plaza. Fully customize your Christmas decor this season with professional-grade, top-quality Christmas lights. Did you ever buy lights and they last about half of one season? Not much fun, is it? Well, that's not going to happen when you buy these quality lights from WhizQ Stone. LED and traditional light strands starting 25 feet up to 1,000-foot rolls. Retrofit bulbs in C9 and C7 LEDs. They have 10 colors and many styles. Stakes and clips for easy installation. They also have contractor-grade greenery, such as pre-lit wreaths and garlands. You'll see a noticeable difference in quality when compared with other outdoor Christmas lighting. WhizQ Stone, a supplier of Christmas lights, but they don't install them. They can recommend installers to you, but you buy them from them, and they are great. Nice, nice people, and a wonderful stone yard, also a wonderful Christmas light yard. 4501 East Loop 820 South in Fort Worth. For more information, visit their website, whiz-q.com, or call them tomorrow. They're closed on Sundays, 817-429-0822. 817-429-0822. If you just want to talk to them about who they would recommend to install, who uses their lights, I'm sure they could help you with that. whiz-q.com, 817-429-0822, 4501 East Loop 820 South in Fort Worth for WhizQ Stone.
You can always find a list of my radio advertisers by going to neilsperry.com and then clicking on Neil on the Radio. You'll find sponsors like Advanced Foundation Repair, 214-333-0003. On the web, foundationrepairs.com. And North Haven Gardens at 7700 North Haven Road in Dallas, 214-363-5316. On the web, nhg.com.
Hi, I'm Fred Marshall from Advanced Foundation Repair. We're proud to have been a part of Neil Sperry's radio program since 1995. And now, once again, here's Neil.
All right, Fred, thank you very much. And now back to the phone lines, and we have a full batch of lines, so let me plunge in. I'm going to try to help. I see a couple questions here I may or may not be able to help you with. Let's start with Jerry in Plano. Jerry, this is Neil. Good morning.
Hello, Neil. I've got a question for you regarding my peach tree.
All right.
I have a peach tree that puts out lots of peaches. It's probably 5 years old, and it really has an abundant crop of peaches every year. The only problem is they get infested with a small beetle-like insect that's kind of a medium to dark brown color, and it's about probably an eighth of an inch long. And I'll notice when the peaches, prior to being ripe, they all get a tiny little hole in them, and then later on, when they become ripe, they start falling off the tree, and I can look inside there, and these little beetles are in there eating away. And so I don't know how to prevent that.
All right. Let me try to help. Yours is one of the two questions that I was referring to. I'm not familiar with a beetle. I'm probably the least intelligent horticulturist in town right now when I tell you this, but I'm not familiar with a beetle that does primary damage that has that description. It would appear to me to be more either plum curculio damage and the beetles are moving in to feed on it, or I did during the newscast, I did a quick search of university websites to see about beetles that would attack peach fruit, and I came up with virtually nothing that matched your description. But a lot of places said that brown rot, the fungus disease, brown rot would move in, and then beetles would come to feed on the decaying flesh. So I kind of wonder if it's not, if this isn't a secondary invader. How rigidly are you adhering to the Texas A&M fruit spray schedule for peaches?
Well, you know, I don't know that I am at all. And that would be good for me to look up. I have gone to different nurseries and tried to get their advice on it, and I've gotten certain types of sprays.
Yeah, what you need to do is be very precise here and very specific. I would do a web search for Texas A&M Aggie Horticulture Peach Spray Schedule. And that will give you to a couple of documents, and it will tell you exactly when and exactly what to use for the various problems. I don't know which you have to do all of them, or something's going. Peaches are high maintenance fruit crops. They're very high maintenance to get a successful fruit crop. And so, but that's what I would recommend to you. I don't know what this beetle is, but I think it's secondary. I think you have a bigger problem of some other sort.
Well, you know, that could be. However, it seems that the pattern of them burrowing a hole, I do notice there's a hole in there, and I've gone into that hole with a knife, and I find a little grub in there. And then,
right, and that's the plum curculio. And this may be the adult of the curculio. I'm very familiar with the curculio. No, that's a moth. The adult of that is a moth. I've told you more than I know, Jerry. I'm on thin ice from this point on. I'm going to refer you to the same search that I did. I spent 5 minutes. That's all I had. But and I came up with nothing, but I would do Aggie Horticulture, Texas A&M, and you're welcome to do peach spray schedule, or you're welcome to do beetles in fruit or something of that sort, and see what you come up with, and I'd love to know. But that sounds more like plum curculio. That's what those grubs are, and they attack both peaches and plums. I got to run. That's the best I got for you. I grunted and groaned as hard as I could.
Hey, listen, I appreciate you.
I thank you for calling. Thanks so much. Let me go to Gregory and Forney. Gregory, this is Neil. Good morning.
Good morning, Neil. Thank you very much for taking my call.
I always enjoy hearing from you.
Okay, and I have a question relating to aloe veras. I have a few bushes in pots. Right now they are outside. They are beautiful. But I am going to take them home. And I know that next year when I take them out, they will not, after, well, a week or two, they will turn brown and they will be ugly for half a year. After that, they will become again beautiful. But I would like to avoid this transition period when they become brown. What can I do?
I don't know why they would be turning brown. Are they shriveling at all?
Well, No, well, they become brownish, and it looks like they want to die, but always they survive, and it all repeats year by year, at least for the last 5 years.
All right, okay? I understand. I have a collection of about 60 or 70 kinds of aloes, including three or four aloe veras that I've had for up to 20 years. I have not seen that happen. It is not a normal occurrence that happens to aloes when they're happy and healthy. There's something happening that they're not satisfied with. Let me explore a little bit with you. Is there any chance that these are getting more sunlight later in the fall than they really would like to have when trees lose leaves?
No, they are, well, as I told you, in winter they are inside.
But the browning happens in the fall, correct?
On the patio, so they are not exposed to direct sun, never.
All right, and when does the browning occur? I think I missed that. Is that in the winter or is that in the fall?
No, in the spring when I took them out.
All right, that is sun scald, I'll bet you anything. I'll bet they're getting more light. I realize they're not in direct sunlight. But I'll bet when you bring them out, they're just not acclimated to the lighting that they're about to get.
Okay.
If it happens within a week or 2 weeks of when you bring them out, that almost has to be it, Gregory.
Right. What can I do?
Well, you do it more gradually. There are a couple things you can do. It's, you know what, it's the same as our skin, at least my skin. When I go out in the spring, now mind you, I'm using skin block on every exposed square centimeter right now because I've had all the help with the dermatologist I want in a lifetime. But to my point, if we go out in the spring and we've been wearing long sleeve shirts and sitting indoors all winter, and then suddenly we work outside for a whole day, we get a sunburn. And the way that we were taught as young children to avoid that is go out for an hour one day and then 2 hours the next day and don't go out, you know, get yourself toughened up. Well, now we use sunblock instead. But mm-hmm. but that is what I'm talking about. You take a plant that is acclimated to indoor conditions and suddenly put it back outside in the same place it was doing fine 4 months earlier, 5 months earlier. Suddenly that's too much light for it. It has changed what it is expecting. And so you have to do it gradually. Put it in a darker spot outside. Even in shade outdoors, it's amazing how bright it is compared to indoors.
Okay. So in other words, probably I can cover them with something.
Yeah, you could use a floating row cover for a few days, the lightweight white material or nursery shade fabric, or just put it farther back up under the eave for a few days. Try, if you have more than one, try that in different ways and see what happens. But I'll bet that's what it is.
May I have a very short question again?
I'm going to have a hard time getting my last break and make it. I've got 20 seconds maybe.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, I have two beautiful junipers. Well, they were beautiful spiral junipers in front of the house. And one that was not more beautiful, suddenly one-third of the tree turn brown.
All right, that probably is the bacterial stem canker I was referring to an hour ago when I said that most of the upright and the pyramid-shaped junipers have a serious problem. Gregory, I've got to run. I'm watching my callers drop off here. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I apologize.
Bye-bye.
All right, but that's a disease that we don't really have a good control for. Folks, stay with me. You'll get on the air. I see two people already have given up. I'll get there. I'll do a short version of my magazine ad. You get a one-year new or renewal subscription to Neil Sperry's Gardens Magazine, along with your copy, now that we have it printed, of my 2013 Texas Gardening Calendar with more than 10,000 words telling you when to plant and prune and fertilize and spray all of the plants in your landscape and garden. That's a huge amount of information, a beautiful calendar at a one-third savings when you buy it with the best regional gardening magazine in America. Wonderful Christmas gift, wonderful gift for you. It will pay for itself, Anna. You have my guarantee of your complete and total satisfaction, or I'll refund every penny. You can't lose on this deal, but you can win a lot. 800-752-GROW. Same number you use to register for our home landscape school for January 26. Call right now before 11 today. 800-752-GROW. 800-752-4769.
Rubel's Plants is where Dallas goes for Christmas trees. Fresh Christmas trees in from Oregon. They have Fraser's, Noble's, Douglas, and Grand Firs from 4 foot to 10 foot. Don't forget to pick up fresh garland for roping and wreaths. Fill your home with the scent of the Christmas season. Poinsettias are at the nurseries in all sizes and colors from 4 to 12 inch pots. Rubel's grows their bedding plants at their farm just 7 miles from downtown, and new plants are delivered daily. Come to the farmer's market location for all your beautiful Christmas decorations from Rubel's Interior Garden. Open from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day of the year. Farmer's Market, 601 South Pearl Expressway in Dallas, 214-744-9100. Lakewood, 7219 East Grand, 214-324-4800. And Lemon Avenue, 6630 Lemon Avenue, 469-248-2796. Go to Rubels.com for their fall color chart, then call them and they'll deliver. That's RUIBALS.com. Rubels Plants, where Dallas goes for plants and Christmas trees.
Hi, I'm Julie Ferraro, principal at Serenity High in McKinney.
And Rick Shepp.
I'm Stephen Issa.
And Merlene Stockdale.
And Steve Mercer.
We're all teachers at Serenity High in McKinney.
We are in the McKinney School District. We also serve many partnering districts.
Serenity High is for students who are in recovery from drugs and or alcohol abuse and who are seeking a high school diploma in a sober environment.
Students are able to enter Serenity upon completion of a certified rehab program.
For more information, call Principal Julie at 469-302-7830.
On the web, that's serenityhigh.org.
My greatest joy at Serenity is seeing families and students transform. When they enter, oftentimes they're without hope. When they graduate, they now know they have a future. One day.
Graduation is coming up in just a few days, and all of those folks will be there. It is a joyous event, and I'm proud to serve on the advisory board for Serenity High in McKinney, and in that light, I will be at North Haven Gardens this afternoon at 1:30 to sell the pens that I have been working on so diligently in my workshop all fall, and most especially the last 2 weeks, almost all of Thanksgiving Day, for example. All of the proceeds when I sell the pens go to Serenity High in McKinney. I'll have 150 pens, including wood from the Century Oak at A&M, the Battle Oaks on the UT campus, Live Oak from TCU near Amon Carter Field, right beside it on the south part there, SMU Ash, where the George Bush Library now stands, is standing, Old Main Oak from Baylor, Ohio State University, a wood from a library cart within the big major library there, the main library, Treaty Oak, the tree the man tried to kill in Austin, Grounds of the Alamo. I have a live oak that Mark Noschutz, the groundskeeper there, gave to me. I also have national champion mesquite that I obtained from the Texas Forest Service, along with wood from the Goose Island Oak, molding from the Texas Capitol, walnut from Gettysburg. That's a new wood that I have. Burr oak from where the Cowboys Stadium is, a tree that was bulldozed to make room for the Cowboys. And Byron Nelson mahogany that he gave me personally. North Haven Gardens is at 7700 North Haven Road, one block west of Central, between Forest and Royal, and parallel to them. Take the access road south from Forest. That's inside LBJ in Dallas. South from Forest to the second right turn. That'll be North Haven, and go west one long block. 7700 North Haven Road. I will be there at 1:30 today. Please be there at 1:30. I'll go through all of the woods one time at the beginning. And from that point on, it's first come, first serve. So I want to tell you about the Baylor Regional Medical Center at Plano. This is where our daughter's life was saved. And they have made a major difference in our family's lives, not only with that, but in several other things. Specifically, I want to tell you about a part of their facility that is the Baylor Scoliosis Center. Scoliosis is a painful, disfiguring condition of the spine. Idiopathic scoliosis not only affects children and adolescents, but also adults. The Baylor Scoliosis Center in Plano is a nationally recognized program for the treatment of scoliosis. They specialize in advanced treatment for difficult scoliosis and spinal cases in adults and children. It's one of the largest scoliosis centers in America. The Baylor Scoliosis Center focuses on both the physical and the emotional effects of scoliosis. Treatments range from observation to bracing to rehabilitation to complex surgeries. Baylor's highly qualified scoliosis team will provide a comprehensive diagnosis of your curvature through a physical examination of the back and extensive testing. Then they determine which treatment options are right for you. The Baylor Scoliosis Center on the Baylor Regional Medical Center at Plano Campus, northeast corner of Preston and the George Bush Turnpike. For more information, call them toll-free 1-888-781-5558, 888-781-5558, online, thebaylorscoliosiscenter.com, thebaylorscoliosiscenter.com. Back to our phones, to Dennis in Temple. Dennis, this is Neil. I'm running out of time. How can I help you?
I have Natalie R. Stevens Holly. It has just about 5 or 6 berries, and they're yellowish. And otherwise, the plant looks healthy.
All right, that's not unusual. They will kind of... there are two things that could cause that. A young Nellie R. Stevens Holly that gets dry just once or twice, often the fruit will be kind of a lighter yellow color for a while. Also, as the berries ripen, I have Nellie R. Stevens all around our home, and as the berries ripen, they start yellow like tomatoes do, and then they turn red as they mature. So I wouldn't blow a whistle on them just yet. It's still early in their season.
I just put lawn fertilizer on them.
That's fine. That's all they need.
And the sprinkler hits them once a week. And the other one has a lot more berries and some yellow leaves down at the bottom.
All right, let me help you with that. I'm out of time. But number one, don't compare any two plants in a landscape.
Oh,
as I mentioned earlier, As I mentioned earlier, between two children in the same family, you try not to draw comparisons. Secondly, the yellow leaves down at the bottom are just the end of the season. They're going to shed some of those leaves over the winter. That's normal for them. Just be patient, and if the plants are healthy and vigorous, they will turn well. Butch and Irving, I just couldn't get to you. Michelle Shook, thank you. Lee Riza, thank you. I'll see you at North Haven Gardens in North Dallas at 1:30 today. Until next week, happy gardening.